Amen. Thank you, choir. Good morning, folks, and welcome to each and everyone this morning. Beautiful Lord's Day morning out here this day, and we just welcome you. And it's a wonderful time to come together as a church of Porter and to praise our wonderful God and a great Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. I want to share with you from one of my favorite psalms here, Psalms 121. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is my keeper. The Lord is a shade upon thy right hand. The sun will not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. And that's great. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out, thy coming in from this day forth, and forevermore. Amen.
For opening song this morning, I'm going to use 225, singing first and last verse, and Benny will have the this whole thing.
God, our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, we're so thankful to have a beautiful day that we can come out and worship you, dear God. We want to thank you, dear God, for sustaining through this past week that you provided for us well, that Heavenly Father, you helped us through anything that we were faced with, and you just blessed us, Heavenly Father, as always. You've just been so good to us. Dear God, you are so good to us, and we want to praise you and thank you for it. So this morning as we come, one of the things we want to do, we just want to thank you, God, for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for the forgiveness. We thank you for the hope we have through Jesus Christ, your Son and our Savior. But most of all, we thank you, dear God, right now for the people gathered here in this room. And Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the faith they have, the love they have for the Lord, and the love they have for each other. So Heavenly Father, we pray now that you will bless us, that you will help us, that you will encourage us through the singing, through the prayers, through the message, that you will give us guidance, Heavenly Father, that we will be able to be victorious in this coming week. We thank you for it and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
After our communion hymn, we'll use 268, saying the first and last verse.
Wonderful power in the blood, the wonder working power in the blood.
said unto them, with desire, I am desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and divided it among themselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took the bread and gave thanks and baked it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Then we'll pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege we have together here to partake of Holy Communion. As we partake of this bread, help us to remember it represents Jesus' broken body. And the blood represents, the juice represents his blood that he shed on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins that we might have eternal life. And Father, we thank you for this great sacrifice. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Dear God, our Heavenly Father, as we come to you at this time, we're so thankful that you provide for us in such a wonderful way. And we know, Heavenly Father, as we studied in our Bible study lesson, that you furnished bread from heaven, you had quail to the camp. They had to prepare, they had to go out and get. So you provided jobs for us and ways of earning, and we thank you for that. You give us health and strength to do it, dear Heavenly Father. And so it is we bring part of a portion of our earnings back and be used for the service, for the work of the Lord here at this church. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the generosity of the good people of this church, that they support it, that the building and so forth can be kept well. And so we thank you for that, and we ask that you would bless each and every one in Jesus' name. Amen. Looking at our bulletin, Bible study tonight at 5 o'clock. We're going to finally finish up with the book of Romans. We're going to make it through tonight. It's been a good study. We've had, certainly appreciate the participation of the people that have been there and the thoughts that they shared and so forth with us. And so, very good book to study, and we hope that everybody got quite a bit out of it. Let's see, nothing else taking place this coming week, so let us turn to our prayer list and look at some of those, what's taking place in the lives of some of the people here. First of all, we noticed there was a death in our community of a person that we know, C.B. Stedman, however you pronounce Stedham, over here on isn't it awful? Can't think of the road now. Yeah, and he used to come here. We got acquainted with him. I think Vernon, you worked with him, did you? At IBM, and so forth. And so there's no arrangement. Was no arrangements for the funeral, and it's going to be a private funeral anyhow. But anyhow, we know him. He's a neighbor down the road here, and let's keep that family in your prayers as they go through the process, what they have to do there. And so I used to stop down there quite often. As most of you know, he lived right back up the creek there from where Mrs. Green used to live, in the little mobile home there, where she lived, and he lived on up the creek. Really nice little place he had back there. And so I used to stop there when I was out here calling. I'd stop and chat with him a while. Quite an interesting fellow he was. Others on our prayer list that we have, keep in your mind and in your prayers. I don't see anybody different on our prayer list this morning, and I'm assuming that everyone then is doing as well as they have been. Want to remember, I think this week is a Wednesday, I think, that Ron is going to have surgery on his hip, a replacement there, the 18th, and I think that's Wednesday, isn't it? But anyhow, keep him in your prayers. Who else? Anything else taking place that you want to share with about our people on our prayer list? I have no updates or anything was given to me other than what we had last week. So let me just encourage you to keep this prayer list before you. And keep in mind those that are on the prayer list, and most of the people here that we have on our prayer list, you know, and we've shared with you some of the things that they're going through and says, so pray for those special things that's taking place in their life, that the Lord will help them through them. Pray for each other. You know what, you know your brothers and sisters here in Christ, and you share with each other what's going on in your life, and so just pray that good things will happen. We know they will. You you come, you worship, and you honor the Lord, and the Lord honors that. And he would like to for you to talk to him through your prayers and be concerned about those that we have made mention, and it's on your prayer list. Our country, our leaders of the nation, our service people, those who care, the hospital people that care for all the people, the nursing home people that cares for those who can't care for themselves. So many things, so many people that I know that we could talk about and have in our mind that we're should be concerned about. Virginia isn't here this morning. She isn't sick, I understand. She's wore out. She's been babysitting a couple of days. And let's see who else is here. Okay. But we're glad you're here, and just continue to pray for those who are not here and that are having maybe difficulties or operations or whatever taking place in their life. Just pray the Lord's blessing upon them as we come to our prayer time.
Now for prayer here, I'm going to use number 322, sing the first and third verse, and I will have the prayer. Let's all stand. For the opportunity we have together in your house on the Lord's Day, sing songs of praise and hear thy word proclaimed. Be the one mentioned on the prayer list this morning, comfort, restore them back to their normal health. Be thy will. Be with each individual. They take the message of the hour and take it home. Be with us now, guide and guard and direct us. Save us in the ends in prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
The invitation hymn be number 338. At this time, the choir will bring us.
Why? Proverbs 30, verse 5 and 6. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. This morning in my prayer, I said that Daniel was in the fiery furnace. I just wanted to declare that that was wrong. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was in the fiery furnace. I believe I meant in Daniel, the fiery furnace. Just needed to clarify.
Thank you, Michael and Choir. Thank you, Kathleen. Y'all get all having choir practice here and getting all fired up for the hymn sing, I'm sure. Getting all primed up in a couple of weeks. I know I forgot someone. Mike and Donna's not here this morning because they are on vacation. They're traveling, so keep those.
Jerry and Judy
is not here because Judy has a cold. And so keep them in your prayers. I knew there was somebody else. Thank you, Dale. Help me out, folks, and help me if I forget someone. We don't want to forget people. We want to be mindful of what's going on, and sometimes, more times than not, when we forget somebody. Thank you. Okay, this morning I want to share with you and from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37, first 14 verses reads like this, if you'll bear with me, please. Ezekiel says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which is full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. Behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answer, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This saith the Lord God unto them bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter unto you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put forth in you, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied, as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say unto the wind, This saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, and breathe upon these slain when they live. So I prophesied, as I was commanded, as he commanded me. And the breath came upon them, and they lived, and stood up, and upon their feet, an exceeding great army. And he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for all of our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, all my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord. When I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live. And I shall place you in your own land. There shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken and performed it, saith the Lord. Amen. This is a very well-known passage, and probably you've heard it preached on many times, and probably I have a time or two here myself. But I want to look at it, and really what the question is, can these bones live? Yea, Lord, they can live. Awaken these bones. I really believe today that we need a real shaking going on. We really need a waking of the bones all over. And I share with you this morning this message. As we look at this passage, Ezekiel here is carried out. He's in the spirit of the Lord. He's not physically seeing this. This is a vision. Much like you probably have dreams and you feel yourself right in there. This is a vision. Ezekiel is taken out into this valley, shown this valley of dry bones, and he is set in the middle of it. Set in the middle of it. And as verse 11 says, these bones actually represent Israel. What's taking place here, Israel and Judah, which were split when Solomon died, God's people split into the southern and northern kingdoms, and it was Israel and Judah. So we find here in this passage, Judah and Israel have been taken into captivity. They are under the captivity of the Babylonians. And so God wants Ezekiel to speak to them. Ezekiel was one of the last ones taken in to the captivity. He is now preaching to the people that are in captivity. They're spread all over, just like these bones. This, if you visualize this, a tremendous valley. And it represents probably, and maybe it was, maybe the bones possibly are real. The vision is Ezekiel's. And it's very possible there was a great army, because in these valleys they had great wars. And the kings fought against each other, and it very possibly could. So these bones were there. And so Ezekiel's there. Ezekiel's to prophesy here. So these represent Israel. Israel is scattered all over, just like these bones is all scattered. There's not one bone connected to the other. You know that old saying, you know, the toe bones connect to the foot bone to the ankle bone, and the ankle bone to the... None of these bones were fastened together. When I visualize these bones are just scattered all over. And there's no one full skeleton there. No full pattern of bones there. They're all scattered. So we have here people of Judah and people of the Israelites. They're scattered all over the land. Ezekiel's speaking to them, encouraged them. Ezekiel was in the line of a priest. Now he's changed from a priest to a prophet. And it's interesting how that takes place and what takes place there. But nevertheless, he's to prophesy to these. Look at these bones. This represents Israel. I want you to prophesy to them. Now, what is taking place, God is going to deliver them. He's going, they think that they're hopeless there. They think that God has forgotten about them. And they probably are in that land, slavery, no hope. But God hasn't forgotten them, and that's what God wants Ezekiel to tell them, to be able to tell them that I have not forgotten them, that I will come and relieve them. I will bring them back to their land. Well, in about 580 BC, this did start to take place. This is when Cyrus, a Persian king, allowed them to start coming back. And so it did happen. It was taking place here. So as God brought new life here to these bones, and he was going to bring new life to them. So he can visualize these people. They're away from home, away from the family, probably family been part of the family here and part of the family there in the territory of Babylon. And so they're pretty despondent and pretty discouraged and giving up hope possibly. And God wants to assure them that he is going to deliver them. And as I said, we can see that take place. When you read the first and second chapter of Ezra, you see then God working there. That's when Cyrus allows them to start coming back and so forth. So, but I want us to see here, as we study this this passage, that God has promised them and God is going to bring them back. But I want us to recognize here that the Israelites, and those of Judah, they probably are like some people today, a lost hope. given up. And I think that's what this passage represents here. The bones are dead, and they represent here that dying and dead hope. I wonder today, those in the Bahamas and so forth, I just wonder how many of those people are trusting God and how many of them have given up hope because all their things is gone and part of their family have died in the storm and so forth. And so I can visualize they're at despair. And so I can visualize that many of those people are probably like these people here that we're talking about, probably giving up hope. So this valley of dry bones represents dying and dead hope. When there's no hope, you know, seems all is gone, seems all is lost, all is defeated. And when we look at life today and we see the dysfunctioning homes, we see the marriages that are in shambles, and we see the teenage rebellion, we see the medical conditions seem incurable, and we've heard people here in our congregation talk about loved ones or folks or neighbors or friends or somebody that they're suffering incurable diseases and so forth, and many their financial difficulties seem impossible to overcome, and there's no answer to the growing addiction problems that we have. And the immorality, when we look at our nation and so forth, and just look at our areas, and we see the immorality that's taking place. I think it's fair to say that immorality is at its highest right now. That I've never seen such immoral things that's taking place in my life that I am seeing taking place now, and and all of these here that we mentioned. You know, that just drains people. That drains the God right out of you. You think, well, God has forgotten about us. God has cared no more for us and so forth. Just giving up. But the message here that Ezekiel has to his people, and I think to the people that I've just mentioned, and to you and to I, is the fact that God has not given up. There is hope. We have hope. I remember somebody, I don't know, a dude or somebody was telling me some years back, they was having a board meeting and a farmer minister said, they just may as well close the doors here because this church is dying. And he'd given up hope on them. But aren't you glad that they didn't? Because look at the life that God has breathed into this congregation here. So great. So God wants to breathe new life into Israel, new life into the people here, the people of the church here. And God is large, and God is in charge, and God is in control. And if we'll keep that in mind, life will be much better for us. God is bigger than any problem we have. God is large, and he's in charge, and he's in control. And so we just give those things over to him and depend upon him, trust him. And when we find ourselves at the end of the rope, take heart, because a miracle is about to take place. I told the Bible class this morning that when you're at the end of the rope and you think there's no hope, and you're trusting in God, hey, cheer up, because a miracle is about to happen. God's going to do something wonderful for you to bring you out of that situation you're in or whatever it might be that you're facing. When you are out of hope, give your future to God. And I would say to those folks in the Bahamas and various places where the storms have passed through and tore everything up, trust God. Look to God. If you'll look up, you'll see things coming down. You have hope. God will bless. And I think that the message comes to us today. And these dry bones here represents the despair and depression and the dead and of any situation, the death of any situation. So declare to your, I think what God is saying, and I see Israel and those of Judah in the Babylonian land, and they're at despair, and I think that they're probably miserable. Wouldn't you think they're in a foreign land? They're in slavery. They're under the control, under the authority of the Babylonians. they're away from home, and they'd be in despair there. And I think what God is telling Ezekiel here, he say, declare to your miserable countrymen. And they would be miserable. You get away from home and you've given up hope, it'd be a miserable thing. You tell these miserable country the gracious design of the Lord. Tell him the Lord is going to do something about this. Assure them there. These dry bones symbolize the condition of a man without Christ. Also, he has no hope. He has no hope. This story of the Valley of Dry Bones represents the people of Israel. That's what verse 11 says. And they had as their fathers transgressed. They are there. They are in Babylon. They're out of their homeland. They're out of the blessings of God because they, like their fathers before them, had disobeyed God, had transgressed the laws of God, and therefore they are suffering now the penalty of their disobedience. God has to discipline his children. And they are under a disciplinary action right now of God. But they have become stiff-necked people. They become rebellious. They have become wicked. They are immoral. When you read back of what's took place before Ezekiel here, you'll see the immorality. You'll see the wickedness taking place. You'll see the people just have turned away from God and not listened to him, not paying no attention to the word. But through Ezekiel, God has promised to deliver them. God has promised to deliver them from their bondage. Bring them back to their homeland. Restore them. Breathe new life in them. Can you visualize now if they would get what Ezekiel was telling them there, that God, you're in a desperate situation. You got yourself there. You're there. You're suffering. But God's going to deliver you. He's going to breathe new life into you. And you know, that would be refreshing, wouldn't it, right there? Isn't it refreshing to know that when you're at despair, when you're at your rope's end, that you can look to God and God will see you through? I think that's refreshing. Breathe new life into these people. I know when they got back home, boy, they would be breathing new life. They'd get back on their own territory, their own ground. They would feel so much different. They would be so gracious here. But this story of the Valley of the Dry Bones represents many churches also. Has a great message in here for the church. If the church will listen to it, the bones here, without breath, represent dead churches, and they are churches which are alive but yet are dead. They're unorganized, just as those bones. As you look, as you visualize in the valley, there wasn't one bone touching the other that connected to the right place. They were just scattered, unorganized. And you think about all the religious, I'll use the word religious people of our nation, and they're unorganized. You don't have to go very far down the road to see the churches are unorganized. Just as here we see the people and the unorganization of these bones that lays in this valley here. The churches are unorganized. They're dead. There's no Holy Spirit work in there. There's no wind blowing there. Many Christians look spiritually in reality, but they're lifeless. They're lifeless. They never go out witnessing. They just sit in church. They never accomplish anything. Neither do they encourage their family or their co-workers to come to be a part of God's church, of the Lord's church. That's our duty, isn't it? As Christians, we as a church, is to spread the gospel and share that people would come to the Lord before it's everlasting too late. If you remember Revelation chapter 3, in particular, 2 and 3, we have God, have the Lord Jesus Christ speaking about the churches. And in chapter 3, there, in verse 1, Jesus speaks of the church at Sardis. And he says this to the church at Sardis. He said, I know you. You got a name, you're alive, but you're dead. Jesus looks upon a church and says, I know you. You got a name, and you're alive, but you're dead. That's a terrible thing to have said from the Lord Jesus Christ to the church, isn't it? That should be happy. So I think that these dry bones here, they represent many churches who is unorganized, who is not doing the work of the Lord to have them to do. You know, some people think that they already have enough members in the church, and they won't they don't want more to come. They think we have enough. And that's a I can remember one time. I think we was building our first edition on here, and there was a certain lady here at that time, no longer here. But anyhow, we was talking about, you know, needing more room, more space, and so forth, and we were excited about that. And this lady, we were having a lunch. I say, we were having a dinner for one of our deacons that was here. He's no longer here. He's passed on. But anyhow, we were having this, and we were crowding in, and we were talking about building on, and this one lady said, "Well, if you would quit inviting people, you wouldn't have to build on." That's the truth. That's what actually said that right back there to me. And I thought, wow. Wow. But you know, there are some churches like that. They think, well, this is us. This is our family. And we don't care whether anybody else comes or not. But friends, we need to care. The church concerned ought to be for those that are lost outside of Christ. We ought to be pleading and encouraging people to be a part of the Lord's work. God wants to breathe life into dead churches. Throughout the Bible, the breath here, the wind represents the Holy Spirit. And where the Holy Spirit's not flowing, there won't be much done. A dead church is not experiencing the flow of the Holy Spirit. I'm so glad that we can feel and we see the flow of the Holy Spirit in lives of people around here. I'm so glad of that. See people who are moved by the Holy Spirit to do certain things and to be the people that you are. It's so wonderful, so wonderful. But these dead, dried bones here, if we visualize these as might be from a overrun army of years ago, it'd be a great army. If those bones then are from an army that had been defeated, it's a great army. Now, if God has given Ezekiel, which he is, a vision of these bones in this valley, and talking about this represents Israel, Judah, then I'm going to breathe life in them. If they then, which we know that he did, and they came to life, that would be a tremendous army. If we think about all the churches that spread across our nation, and if the Holy Spirit could flow in all those churches, we'd have a great army. And we could defeat anything that came against us. The reason we can't, the reason we're not, one reason we're not defeating our enemy, Satan, is the fact that we're unorganized and the Holy Spirit's not working in many churches. Many churches are pleased with what they have, and many churches are simply dead. And we're not what the Lord would have to do. Oh, if the Lord would come and breathe new life into everything that's dead, that works for him, how wonderful it would be. Then the story of this dry bones represents individuals. We close. When a person receives the Lord Jesus Christ, confesses him as Lord and is baptized, like Peter said in Acts 2:38, Peter said, you know, he preached on the day of Pentecost, and he was preaching the gospel. He's preaching the salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Jews realized that what they'd done, they'd killed the very Savior. And they believed what they had done. And they believed him then to be the Savior. And so they spoke to Peter and asked Peter, what should they do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized. They already believed because they've seen their wrong and seen their need for a Savior. So they believed. Repent and be baptized. Every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. So we have all kinds of teaching about the Holy Spirit. But Jesus, through his apostle Peter, makes it very plain. You don't get the Holy Spirit until you have repented, confessed Lord, and are baptized. And then the Holy Spirit comes in. And we want to let the Holy Spirit work in our lives. That's where we receive that Holy Spirit. is then that we're added to the church. If we go on and read what Peter says and what Jesus says in Acts 2, 47, as a matter of fact, it says, and the Lord added to the church those that should be saved. So the Holy Spirit woos them right in, moves them right into the church, and we become a great army. Bring life into those bones that are dead today. So I say, you know, Christians are really blessed. And the Lord is working in our lives. And the Lord wants to work in our lives. He wants to bring new life to us. He wants this, the church as a nation to come alive. He wants our church as lively as it is and as cheerful as it is. And as the demonstration of the Holy Spirit is here, he wants us to be full of life. He wants the Holy Spirit to work its fullest. The Apostle Paul says, you know, let the Holy Spirit have his way with you. You know, and let the Holy Spirit just encompass you. Let you be so full of the Holy Spirit that you can't do anything but praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So I say to you this morning, the Holy Spirit of God can breathe new life into a nation. The Holy Spirit can breathe new life into a church. And the Holy Spirit can breathe new life into a person. So I would say to you this morning here, if you feel spiritually dead, come, let the Lord breathe new life into you. And he will do that. Maybe you haven't known the Lord at all, and you just need to come and receive the Lord. And you can then receive new life. Paul puts us this way he says that when we come and we accept the Lord and we're baptized and we're raised into a new life. And so the Bible talks about new life and new spirit. And Jesus said, I come that you might have life. And actually he says that you have it more abundantly. See, the Lord wants us to live and enjoy what he has and live and share with others his goodness. Won't you come if you need to this morning and receive Jesus? New life is there for your taking, for your asking. Let's stand together and sing the first verse of all. Blessing on each one of our people here today as we give this place. Bless them in a wonderful way.